Introducing Caribbean Radio Show, the chat reel with Billy and friends. And now, here is your host, Billy Tappin.
Good evening, or good afternoon. This is your host, Billy Tappin, with the Caribbean Radio, the chat reel with Billy and friends. We have a great show today. And a great guest. I mean, this girl is into everything. But we're going to be going into the situation in a while. First, I want to introduce my staff or my friends, not my staff, my friends. We have TJ Jackson.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's all good over here.
How is everybody? All right.
All right. Next, coming up, we have Denise Chitadis.
Hi, everybody. Just really glad to be here.
And next, coming up, she's actually not available, but... we've got El Bracy. I think El Bracy's in the studio. You in the studio, El?
What's going on, man?
Hey. It's all good. It's all good. We have Nicole Franklin in the studio, and she is going to have some amazing things at what she's doing. But first and foremost, I'd like to actually go to a commercial break, so I'm going to send it over to TJ. TJ, take us in.
You're listening to Billy and Friends on the chat wheel on the Caribbean Radio Show. Coming up, you've got Tom McDonald and Bob Marley. Keep it tuned right here. We're here for you, the Caribbean Radio Show and the chat wheel.
From author Dr. Denise Gotatis comes a self-help guide that will give you valuable information about the world around you in ways never imagined. The Metaphysical God in Relation to His Creation. Available on Amazon. In this must-read book, you will learn about your importance in the world and the metaphysical universe around you. You will be introduced to the Metaphysical God who has a relationship with you and those around you. Whether you are aware of this or not, you come into contact with Him daily. He is omnipresent metaphysically. He is in and outside of His creation. And what does a metaphysical God have to do with you and the creation around you? You are a very big piece of a huge puzzle. The Metaphysical God in Relation to His Creator from author Dr. Denise Gotatis is available on Amazon. Order your copy right now.
Yeah.
Introducing Caribbean Radio Show, the chat reel with Billy and friends. And now, here is your host, Billy Tappin.
Hey, glad to be back. I hope everybody's enjoying themselves. We have Nicole Franklin on tonight, and Nicole has an extensive background in entertainment and films. She's got all kinds of stuff going on. She's got a school project that she's actually got in and implemented. So before we get there, I'd like to pass it over to Elle. Elle, you want to chime in on this? Let's get her introduced in. Let's get her in. And Denise?
Oh, yeah. I'm here.
Okay. All right. Let's go.
Yeah. Now, Nicole, are you there?
Are you standing by?
Hi, everybody. You have to be rocking over here to that one of my favorite tunes from my childhood.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
Mine too. I love it. Okay. Let's get on with the interview. Denise, you want to start it off? Or Elle?
Oh, yes. I have so much. I'm so excited that Nicole, she decided to come on. We are just, we're ecstatic, really. We're ecstatic at having you, Nicole. And the excitement with Billy, Al, and TJ is just, you know, it was awesome. We're just happy to have you. We welcome you. We see everything that you've done. I mean, you have an awesome credentials here. I see you studied at mass communication at Illinois University. And you are a contributing author to Good Men Project and a contributor at buyblacks.com. And you know what? I'm going to let you tell all about yourself, tell what you do, and what you were. I mean, wow, CBS News, former freelance editor, stage manager at NBC. And I mean, wow. We're happy to have you. We're really happy to have you.
Yeah.
Thrilled to be here. Yeah. Oh, please have a seat. Yeah, I'm a professional storyteller, as I like to say, and I grew up in news television, 30 years in news television, editing for NBC News and CBS News, 10 years on CBS Sunday Morning. And when the pandemic hit, that's when I said, you know what, I'm going to end my news career, because that was early mornings that I would work on a Today show.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's a 2 a.m., 1:30 a.m., 2 a.m. call. CBS Sunday Morning was 5:30 a.m. But regardless, editing news, video editing news, taught me everything I knew about filmmaking, and I always wanted to be in films and TV, so I started my own independent filmmaking career back in 1999. I did a film on Double Dutch Jump Rope that went into the festival circuit and got picked up by Sundance Channel, the early days of Sundance Channel back in 2000. And so I haven't looked back.
Wow.
That was really a break. And yes, I've been doing, I've done more than 10 independent films alongside my news career. And then, yes, I love writing. And so I was writing articles, you know, for publications such as buyblacks.com in Canada, which is fantastic. You guys should check it out. BYBLACKS. That's a lovely couple who run that magazine. And, because I'm an independent filmmaker, you know, we're always like raising money for our films, right? And I've been in some fantastic communities. So many people have contributed to my fundraising campaigns. So when I got into something called cryptocurrency about 5 years ago. I love the crypto for charity aspect and met a bunch of people who did as well. And we formed our own cryptocurrency this year, January 25th, 2022, and we started a cryptocurrency token of our own called 3Quality. It's a global charity token. And I have just started relating how you can use digital currency to now raise money for your independent projects. We found a way to do that, so I'm happy to share it with my creatives. And don't let it scare you, all this news that's out there. There's still gazillions of people using cryptocurrency because we can't let the government control all of our money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right. Wow. We are thinking that.
So we got a short time with Nicole. So let's kind of pass it around so everybody can kind of talk to her. You know, I know you have, we all know some things about her bio. And like I said, Nicole, I was in the hospital for like 3 weeks and some issues, but they found nothing. Yeah, they found nothing. I couldn't,
well, I'm so
I couldn't
glad you
talk.
Made it out of the hospital. Prayers up. Glad you made it out.
Yeah. So I'm coming back. So I'm having all the other hosts hosts. And so Denise, let's kick it over to Ellen, and Elle can use about 10 minutes and then TJ's opinion. So, okay, let's do it that way.
Yeah, Al.
Yeah,
all right, Al. Al, wait.
So many questions. But I'm interested in the crypto. Let's start with the money. How many members are in your organization, and do you accept other type of cryptocurrencies as well, or just the kind that you guys are working on?
Yeah, great question. We have about a team of about 10 to 12, because we have contractors too, in our global team of 3Quality. You can see us actually at 3Quality, that's the number 3Quality.net. And we do this crypto for charity. Understand, for people who don't know crypto that well, you've heard Bitcoin, and then the rest are altcoins. So last count, there was like 20,000 altcoins. We're 20,001. But again, you have to look at the use case. And our crypto for charity, that means we decided that 15% of all net profit charitable causes. And so we are on the exchanges paired with USDT. So when you ask what other cryptos, you know, can be in our ecosystem, we're right now paired with something called a stable coin. So let's just break it down. You see Bitcoin go from 19,000 to 64,000 down to 3,000 in value, and it's very volatile, correct? So a stable coin, right here in the U.S., we understand it as equivalent to our dollar. So it will drop maybe to 99 cents. It'll go up as high as $1.01. It stays around a dollar. So when you go to an exchange and you purchase our token, by the way, we have to be purchased outside of the United States, which is totally cool. It's a global community. Then we are being purchased with a stable coin. So we like that we're paired with a stable coin. A lot of altcoins are paired with Bitcoin, Ethereum, a stable coin, and another coin. And that's fine, but we don't like for our customers to purchase our token with Bitcoin, and then when they want to sell our token, they sell it back to Bitcoin, and then Bitcoin will then drop to $1,000. You know, we want you to get that purchase. Does that make sense when I say it's paired with a stable coin?
Yes.
Say silence.
Oh, yeah.
So, good.
Yeah, I took that one out.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
okay,
makes
yeah.
A lot of sense.
Yeah. So we want everybody to feel that they can purchase profit and have enough of a profit that they feel they can give it away. So I started actually teaching some crypto courses so you guys can, you know, watch at your own leisure. You can self-direct yourself through these courses. And I'm offering special to actually your group. I'm offering a special. But, yeah, these courses are so you can get into cryptocurrency safely and securely, because there is a way to do that. Like I said, the news gets kind of scary, but the reason we are out there is Threequality, and I, as the COO of Threequality and co-founder, thought, let me put some courses together just to get, if we have three courses as well, just to get entered in, profiting, and feeling like they can do it securely.
Yes, wow, right. That's exciting.
Right. Yeah, that it is, because now, I don't want to, like, move away too far, because we want to find out more about the crypto, but being an anchor in the morning and doing the news, what do you think of some of the newscasters that today, are they skilled, you know, like you was, or what are your opinions? And we're not calling no specific names, but
right.
Are they just putting anybody in front of the camera with a certain type of look, or do you feel they have the qualifications?
Well, that's so funny. So I was an editor. I was behind the scenes. I was putting all the video packages together right before air. So it's an intense job, though, but I did not do on camera for the newscast. I've been on camera in a different capacity, but not for the newscast or behind the scenes. That being said, I've seen a lot of people come through as anchors and on-air correspondents. And notice the ages of some of the new people you'll see. They'll be like 25 years old or look like a 12-year-old. And so maybe they don't have as much experience. But when you're in 24-hour news, 24/7 cable news, it's about news and opinion kind of blends. So that's a little scary, I think. I like when people just report the news, but you got to do a little more talking heads and have a panel. And I think that's what gets anchors in trouble. You know how, like, Tiffany was just let go of MSNBC, and that was just not cool. That came out of nowhere, Tiffany Cross. And they said they gave her an opinion show. Well, they gave her her own show. And they probably said, wow. And she probably had her contract, I can, you know, express my opinion. But there have been several Black women who have been let go of MSNBC, you know, herself, Melissa Harris Perry, Tamron Hall. And it's like, is there a pattern? Because these are very smart women. And you said that they could have their opinions. So that's why, you know, it's safer. And look, I worked for NBC News for 17 years, and I grew up there. I loved, you know, my family at NBC. And I was actually at the beginning of MSNBC. I was working in L.A. at the time, and MSNBC
right.
was just – and so then we didn't know it was going to last. Well. So now it's up there as a big cable outlet. But you got to be careful. So, yeah, the anchors, the correspondents are getting younger and younger because they can pay them less. And then when you do have that opportunity to have your own show, I don't think Tiffany Cross was paid poorly. I think she was probably paid very well. But then it's always like, I could lose this tomorrow. So it's unfortunate, but it'd be nice to see some people settle in, because the viewers are settling in with these anchors. They know, right, and they trust. And when they are hearing about a disaster, turn on to the people they trust. And I want to get back to that, but I think the networks have to give them some time to warm up to their audiences and vice versa. So I don't know. It's a mixed bag for corporate America. Let's get back to reporting the news and have me that familiar face.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, oh, yes. From a radio broadcaster's perspective, I was in radio for a long time, but and I understand what you're saying. And being in the age group I'm at, to me, I see, this is piggybacking on your answer to Al about news anchors, I miss the Tom Brokaws, Walter Cronkite,
yeah.
Peter Jennings, Max Robinsons, Ed Gordon. I miss those newscasters, because their job was to give the facts. Give the facts, disseminate information, give it out, and then it's up to the viewer to say whether I think this is true or not. But they always gave you the facts, and they didn't put their own spin on it. They did not elaborate with personal preferences, and that's what I liked about it. And that's how I was trained to broadcast. I mean, you just – it's not about you. It's about the facts and the broadcast.
Yeah, exactly. I worked on Brokaw's show for years on NBC Nightly News, and yet it's a great show because that's true.
Yeah.
What you just said, you deliver the facts. And he always had a black makeup person.
Oh, wow.
And besides that, the second part of my question is that is if young kids today who wanted to go into the field of video editing, how do they get a leg up? How do they get their foothold in? Besides, I understand, you know, college and everything, but, you know, is it once you – graduate and get the education and learn the craft, do you go from job to job, or do you get one job like you did and just stay in it and just years of the grind, you know, making the experience, getting the wisdom?
Yeah, great question. I think the world is open now because, like, kids under 10 are learning how to edit. Because the apps are making it so much easier. So a TikTok app can give you all kinds of effects that we used to have to build move by move on old equipment.
Right.
Now on TikTok, you just get in, you know, swipe your fingers and add stars and turn something around in a swirl and all that. And we used to have to build that, right? So I think with video editing, it's about style and not and really watching where do you want to work, right? You got to watch the style of editing they do, know that you can go in and add some more flavor, but if they hire you, you know, make sure you've done your homework and watched what style they have, and then say, hey, you know, you want to try this. And some of the legacy media, you know, don't want to go too far into the deep end, but they know that you're talented and they could use that. Now, I always tell my students, if you work in post-production, you're always working because everybody needs an editor. So you don't really have to stay at one place forever. And I was permalance, by the way. That was 30 years of freelance. It just happened that NBC and CBS had said, hey, can you come Monday through Friday for the next 3 months? Or they just do that on my shift. Now, that was their way of not paying benefits, right? But our union covered the benefits. And there's many more non-union jobs out there than there are union, but so many people need editors. And, so if you're an editor, you're always working, which, it might not be the sexiest part because you might want to be on set, but editors make it happen. And so it is its own production as well. And if you love it, you're always working, which is cool. But when I was teaching, I always taught five things that editors need to know. And if you learn these five things on how to work the machine, you can adapt to any system. So
it doesn't
cool
great. Yeah. Good answer, as they say on Family Feud. Good answer.
Denise, we'll
kick it over to Denise.
Okay.
Oh, well, yes. I know that you have a limited time, Nicole. You are a filmmaker as well. Are there any particular movies that you did work on, or?
Oh, you mean like mainstream films other than mine?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to like really think about that. I mean, I just got off The Hair Tales. If you guys have been watching that on Hulu and OWN, I was a story producer on that. That was my summer, working on that this year. It's with Oprah and Tracy Ellis Ross and Issa Rae and Michaela Angela Davis created it. So we've been getting a great feedback. The Hair Tales is a 6-part docuseries that's airing right now. It made its debut October 22nd on OWN and Hulu, Black Women Talking About Our Hair. And that was pretty fun.
Oh, wow.
I love it. Yeah. Ayanna. Episode as well. I think it's the best one of the six. So I worked on that, and I worked on another pilot for Hulu that we hope will get sold next year. We'll see. As far as films. Oh, I did. Oh, there is a one that I worked on that wasn't mine. That is my favorite credit, I always say. It's going to have to be one that you guys look up. I don't think it was mainstream, but it was called Symbiopsychotaxiplasm Take 2.5. And Take 1 was done in the 60s by a talented Bill Greene, the director Bill Greene, a black man who is revolutionary, who has left this world, unfortunately, but he's a good friend of mine, he and his wife, and he helped change cinema with his Symbiopsychotaxiplasm Take 1. It looks like reality TV looks now. He was doing this back in the 60s. And Symbiopsychotaxiplasm is an experiment. He turned the cameras on himself as a director and did things to piss off his crew. He put the crew filmed themselves going off on him, and it looked like it was a documentary about this crew that was doing a mutiny. Like they were about to... amazing film, and he planned it all and always planned for a part two or, you know, sequel. But the sequel happened 35 years later. By this time we had met, I had seen this thing on Sundance Channel, actually, and I'm just like, oh my God, does Bill know about this movie that's just like making him look like the worst director in the world?
Oh, wow.
And he helped me with part two. I'm like, oh my God, you knew about part one? He goes, Nicole, I planned the whole thing. I said, of course I'll help you with part two. And the reason he was finally able to do this 35 years later is because Steven Soderbergh and Steve Buscemi, both of them, said, we'll come on as the producers and help you get this film made. We love this, that you went and did a wacky film. And so both films, actually, part one and part two, which I'm in as a crew member, that also, I like, you know, how is he going to do this? Because we're all, each crew member knows not to speak out of turn because we'll be on camera. But then I got exhausted, I guess, and forgot the camera on and I spoke out of turn, and that is the middle of the movie.
Nicole, I know that you have that limited time, and I wanted to ask you, is it okay if anyone would come on? We normally do this, you know, we normally do the little doorbell when we know that there's someone on the line and that what might want to ask the question. And so what I normally do, I normally open up the lines. And if anyone is listening in, if you have a question for Nicole, hey, ask that question. Any listeners want to chime in and say anything? Well, I guess we don't have a question, but the lines are open. And for Nicole, I know you have limited time. And Billy, are you there?
Let me ask you this, Nicole. When do you sleep? When do you sleep? This is Billy. When do you sleep?
Exactly. Well, you know, we talk about being in the hospital. I did have, like, major surgery about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe. And that's what I did. You know what? I've got to, like, start doing 7 hours a night. I can't do this stuff anymore. So I do 7 hours a night now.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at the bio. And I'm like, how in the heck can she do all this? You know what I'm saying? Like, I have energy, but that's a lot of energy. But we have to talk. We have to talk. I got a couple of things I want to talk to you about. But we'll talk sometime tomorrow if you're available. So,
well, tomorrow's a crazy day, but I have to give a speech on Thursday. So I've got to do some stuff in the morning, then finally write the speech and give it on Thursday. Friday on, I'll be much, much late.
Hit me up when you're free. Just put on your calendar, hit me up when you're free.
Yeah, you guys are fun. Okay. This is great.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
thank you, Nicole, so much for coming on. Wow, we really, really, really enjoyed you at the chat reel. And we, if you can, Billy, I'm sure he's going to want you to come on again. Right? Everybody else too, right?
No doubt.
Everybody.
We want you to come back, Nicole. We want you to come back. And Al, you kind of close her out, you know?
Well,
TJ,
I also want to offer your audience. So I do teach a course in digital currency. And if you use the code 1040, that's 1040, and these are fans of Tap-In, I say. We have Billy and friends, but fans of Tap-In
yeah.
that use this, and your username, you get, with your purchase of the course, of
yep.
cryptocurrency. So your course buys you $75 worth of cryptocurrency, and it's way under a penny right now, so you kind of get like 50,000 tokens already.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So 75.
Wow.
Code 1040, the 40-digit code 1040. That'll be for Billy and friends. And thank you, guys. This has been fun.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Nicole. We enjoyed you. We did.
Yep. Let's get her information. Let's get her information out there for the audience where they can kind of pick up on some of the crypto. You know, I mean, I'm really with that. And anything you got going on, Nicole, you know, just let me know, and we'll put it together.
Will do. So. Franklin.com. Really respect and honor you guys. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hit me up when you do it yourself.
Thank you. Thank you for doing it.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I think, you know, that was wonderful. I mean, this lady is amazing. The things that I have seen on her bio, and I know I keep on repeating it, but, you know, I mean, she is about her business, and that's what I like about us. We need to really come together like this. You know, I mean, she's out
yes.
there plugging away every day.
Definitely.
Yes, she
you know?
Is.
And we need to do the
I
same
agree.
Thing.
100.
You know?
100. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what they
yeah,
say,
so.
Moss doesn't grow on a busy street.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Let's go to commercial break, and then we'll come back and discuss some things that's going on with Kanye West. How about that?
Oh,
sure.
That will be just awesome, awesome, awesome.
Yeah. It's a
You're listening to the Chat Real.
Yeah.
That is givebackjamaica@gmail.com.
How do I say goodbye to what we had? The good time that made us laugh. I thought we'd get to zero. so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. I don't know where the road is going to lead. All I know
fell asleep, but they scream woke. We're distracted by vaccines and TV shows, politics, celebrity gossip, popular neat quotes. Black lives, white lives, which lives mean most? We only dedicate one day to remember our fallen soldiers, the men and women who died young. But if you come out the closet as Caitlyn Jenner, you're a hero and you get a whole Pride Month. The most dangerous pandemic's propaganda from these clowns. Only mask is gonna save us is duct tape on their mouths. Don't speak. We don't need to defund police, need to defund the media who lies through their teeth like Big Pharma doesn't cure you, dog, cause every patient that gets cured is a customer lost. And Big Oil runs the world, the only wars that get fought are with the countries who have natural resources they want. Heard him claiming if a white man braids his hair and likes rap, he's appropriating culture. But if a white man acts too white, he's white trash, he's a racist, he's a bigot, he's a monster. Let's just have the conversation. Not every liberal is dumb, not all Republicans are racist. The government wants everybody fighting with their neighbors, cause they know that if we get along, we'll probably go against them.
They can't stop us, cause we're ready to fight. Trying to brainwash us, but we won't let freedom die. The whole world's brainwashed.
Everybody pick a team, start a riot in the streets.
The whole world's brainwashed.
It's us against them, it ain't you against me.
How did monkeys become people and people turned into sheep? They put fluoride in the water that's keeping us all asleep. Claim they want what's best for us, I find it hard to believe. Cause they've been selling us cigarettes since we was 18. Fake news, fake woke, distract and divide. You're either right or you're left or you're black or you're white. Big tech don't need a microchip to hack in your life. Cause the phone inside your pocket is a tracking device.
And I don't know what I'm more sick of. Rappers or Joe Biden looking like he ate 100 Xanax for dinner. Cause censoring the president and kicking him off Twitter is a bigger threat to freedom than foreign ballistic missiles. You don't trust the police or the government, but you want people giving up their right to own a firearm. Why would you be comfortable if police and the government the only people on the planet with the right to buy a gun?
White privilege getting amplified to reinforce division. It convinces white people that they're favored by their skin, and black people getting angry because they're told they're treated different. So the conflict is between us and never with the system.
Let's just have the conversation. Not every liberal is dumb, not all Republicans are racist. The government wants everybody fighting with their neighbors, cause they know that if we get along, we'll probably go against them.
They can't stop us, cause we're ready to fight. Trying to brainwash us, but we won't let freedom die. The whole world's brainwashed.
Everybody pick a team, start a riot in the streets.
The whole world's brainwashed.
It's us
train the people only to consume. Step two, infiltrate adults with the news. Step three, indoctrinate the children through the schools and the music and the apps on the phones that they use. Step four, separate the right from the left. Step five, separate the white from the black. Step six, separate the rich from the poor. Use religion and equality to separate them more. Step seven, fabricate a problem made a lie. Step eight, put it on the news every night. Step nine, when people start to fight and divide, take control. This is called situational design.
They can't stop us, 'cause we're ready to fight. Trying to brainwash us, but we won't let freedom die. The whole world's brainwashed.
Everybody pick a team, start a riot in the streets.
The whole world's brainwashed.
It's us against them, it ain't you against me.
Introducing Caribbean Radio Show, the chat reel with Billy and Friends. And now, here is your host, Billy Tappin.
Welcome, welcome back. To set you up a little bit with Nicole Franklin, you missed a really good show if you're just now chiming in. But she is amazing. I mean, I've never seen anything like it in terms of business. I mean, she's into crypto. She's into filmmaking. She's into school. She's got a school that I think is up already.
She's a board member with Bear YMCA and president and senior director of EPIP, which is, let's see, EPIP is a organization that – oh, yeah, I have the abbreviation for it. I had it. I had all the information. Oh, my goodness. Julie, I know she's not here, but she had fed me so much. But she studied at a mass communication at Illinois University, as a matter of fact, too. So, I mean, wow. And just impressive.
She's very impressive. I just was just fortunate to be able to link up with her. And I've been online with her for probably a couple years off and on. She's an amazing person in terms of business-wise and personality-wise also. She has a wonderful personality. So I am very, very blessed to have her come on and tell us her story. And we'll have her back. Because I know the audience that is out there now, I know that they would want to hear more about some of the things she's doing. And I certainly do. So let's see what TJ and Elle have to say. Let's start out with TJ.
You want to start with me. Oh, that's fine and dandy. Thank you. I was watching, everybody was been watching the news channels and what's going on today. And I like to tease you, Billy. Your friend Kanye West, I think he's lost his mind, man. Him and Kyrie Irving, I don't know what's going on with them cats, man. Is it the money or what?
Well, you know what it is.
Because if money makes you crazy, just give me a little bit. I don't want to be super crazy. I just take a little tiny bit and go pay my bills.
Well, you know what it is. It's the fact that he signed that contract and his mom was sacrificed. You know, I mean, this is what's going on with him, and he's trying to take and reverse what has been done, and getting closer to God, and that's a great thing, but. He signed up with the devil, you know? I mean, I think the guy is being sincere what he says, because he's absolutely right in terms of the industry. So he's not lying about none of that stuff. So I everybody's looking at him like that, like he's lost it, but no, he hasn't. He's just dealing with the repercussions of his mother. That's why he's been flipping and flipping out. You know what I'm saying? Yes, if your mother was sacrificed And because of you wanted all this money, you realize that the money is nothing, because I remember hearing him say that he sold his soul to the devil. I mean, I've seen it because it was on video. He's doing a concert.
Ooh.
So it's eating at him, and that's what's going on with him. And people that are that were raised in a subtle situation like maybe Christianity or Muslim, and they sold out, you know, for the money, then they finally recognize everything that they can get doesn't matter anymore. I mean, that's what's
wow.
going on. Would you agree, Al? Would you agree?
Oh, man, yeah, totally, totally. But I also know that right now, in this particular time, it's a quantum shift. And the quantum shift is consciousness. It's a quantum consciousness shift. That means that if you notice how people are getting more inquisitive, you know, they're asking more questions, they're getting more smarter. You know, a lot of people are waking up.
Yeah.
And that has a lot to do with this time as we move toward the fifth dimension. Now that we have this part of who is our master, who do we serve? Are we serving man? Do we have to apologize for everything that we do? When you don't apologize, for instance, even you go with Kanye and you go with Kyrie Irving, you must understand that we are now tired of having to apologize, being men, being women, being adults, for something that is true. When I'm talking about the film of Kyrie Irving, all he did was posted a book that he read, and it's called From Hebrews to Negroes, Black People
mm-hmm.
Wake Up. So he had, with that he must go through, he must pay $500,000, he must apologize, he must go see some rabbis and go to classes. But hold on. What is the truth? Is it that people that wants to run these industries, as you're talking about with Kanye West, people that run the industries, they want you to be disciplined and they want you to believe the Christopher Columbus lie? We all know that's a big lie. But
exactly.
It's like it's certain people that would never apologize to you, but telling you, you got to apologize to us because you're anti-Semitic. But it's really, we are Shemites. So we are Shemitic. You understand? So it comes to that point as to where we may not understand it, but what's drawing millions of people to that book From Hebrews to Negroes? Because you've been asleep for so long, and it's time for you to wake up, because the dimension will pass you by. And getting back, because I'm bouncing back to Kyrie Irving, to Kanye West, and that was just a few people. Even Nick Cannon is coming back because he's been disciplined. Whoopi Goldberg has been disciplined. Arsenio Hall has been disciplined. So therefore, it's almost like you're watching your brother or sister getting lynched. Getting hung right in front of the house, just getting hung from a tree because they were disobedient. You understand?
Right,
so,
right.
So when they told Kanye, well, you got 30 days to get your money out of our bank, you know who runs the bank. All because this word is supposed to be freedom of speech. If I have to apologize for what I said, how is that freedom
it's
of
not-
speech? If you have
right,
Whoopi Goldberg on the talk show, and it's called The
You're
View, and she's giving her opinion, how is that freedom of speech if you have to apologize
right.
for everything?
That's
yeah.
true.
And that's what the deal is. We tend to bow to these entities that is in the industry, because between the bankers and Hollywood, they're the demons. You know, those are the ones that
yeah.
I think people are attacking more because of their suicide contracts that these rappers are signing and abiding by what the record label wants. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we want you to rap about drugs and women, but we want you to call them the B word. You know what I'm saying? So all this is right. Basically downhill for the community, because we are such of a follower, you know, instead of being your own person, you know, because somebody's got a pair of Nikes don't mean that you got to have them, you know.
Exactly.
I'm not going to spend, you know, $200 or $300 on no doggone shoes unless they're dress shoes. You know what I'm
saying?
I'm saying, but that's something that's going to last me. Yeah. So I understand where they're coming from. He is not talking about, in my perspective, he's not talking about the whole Jewish community. He's attacking industry, the music industry, all of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's all corrupt. It's all corrupt. So that's the way I see it. I might be wrong, but that's the way I see it. Back to you.
But anytime you have a system like that where it's based on, in order for this big shot to make money, he's got to sign my name. I got to go out and work. I get super famous like Michael Jackson. You know, they were the two biggest stars in the world, but they still were beholden to their record companies. I just don't get that. These men could write and sign checks. They could own whatever they wanted to own, but they still were beholden to, Prince was still beholden to Warner Brothers till the lawsuit finished. You know?
Right.
I they act like they just had to have this hold over him. It's just something that I just don't get. I mean, maybe it's because I never worked in that type thing, but it's just insulting to me. And if you can, Stevie Wonder, if Ray Charles was still alive, Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles can see it, and they both were blind, anybody can see it. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, you have a situation here where, you know, he signed with Warner Brothers, and he wanted out. He wanted out, and they fought with him and fought with him, and when he put that symbol on him, you know, and told the whole story, then finally he actually got out of the contract. The guy was doing great. He had good record sales on the computer. You know what I'm saying? You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
But go back in and take and re-sign? It was a setup. It was all a setup. They're like, okay, we're still going to get the publishing. We just let him go a few years, let him do his thing. Then we're going to offer him something that he can't turn down. And that's exactly what they did. And look what happened to him. He did his last performance. Said he was, you know, he did like about 2 hours. And he come back. He's on one of the, I don't know why he didn't have his own jet, but he's on one of the billionaires' jet. And he got sick, of course, everybody knows. And they did a stop at a hospital that couldn't deal with him. I think they were a little crowded. I'm not really clear on it. But he ended up the next day, he ended up going on his bike to the pharmacy, I'd assume, and came back. And next thing you know, he's dead.
Yeah.
And you look at the history of him and the song about the elevator, he was right by the elevator. And they said he never used the elevator. So you have to question everything. You have to question everything.
Wow.
And I know, L, do you know anything about that? Because that's what I perceived was the deal. You know, I'll tell you whose jet he's on. You know, the guy that sponsors Mayweather. I can't think of his name, but
oh,
John King.
James Billiot.
No.
Is it John King?
No, it wasn't Don King
because I'm thinking his. I'm thinking of other boxers.
Don.
I forget his name.
But it's him.
Yeah.
But it's, I can't think of the guy's name. Yeah, I can't think of the guy's name. But anyway,
let me see who
he's
is.
The one that actually let him use his jet. They're all hooked in together, you know. So if they're coming back at you, you know, like you know, I mean, anybody that is just about the money, they're going to take the deal like he did. He should have said, no, I'm good. You know. I'm good.
His endorsement was from Hublot, a Swiss watchmaker. Let's see. Floyd Mayweather's. Oh, that's his sponsors. And the endorsement was from Hublot, the legendary Swiss watchmaker design. Decided to sign a deal with Mayweather ahead of his bout against Conor McGregor. Let's see.
This guy was helping him invest.
He's
helping him invest.
So he was helping him invest.
The name will come at some point in time. And Al, you know who this person is too, because he's one of the richest people on the planet.
Yeah, I know. You know. He's the oldest guy. He got rich when he got older too. Prince was on his plane. What you call it? I know exactly what you're talking about, man. The name will come to me, and it's sad that. And everybody knows him. I mean, they always talk about. We're not talking Bill Gates. We're talking about the older guys. Older.
Richard Branson.
Yeah.
No, Richard Branson.
Older than Branson. He's older than Brandon.
We're talking about a rich guy now.
Bill Gates?
He's one of the elite.
Not Bill Gates. Let me see. I'm looking.
No, this guy. No, this guy's in his 80s.
It's the other one. The older guy.
He's the older guy.
Until it comes to our mind. I wanted to ask you guys this. I don't know if you heard about the basketball player Kyrie Irving from the New Jersey Nets that did.
Yeah, that's Uncle Drew.
I have. Opinion of Charles Barkley, LeBron James, and of course Shaq, and Stephen A. Smith, who made those comments and calling him an idiot. And everything else.
Go ahead.
First of all, Stephen A. Smith, I'm going to save my opinion on him until later, Al, because I have never cared for the man. I don't really know him, but through broadcasting, I've known him for years, his personality. And I was joking around with a couple of my buddies the other day. I said, man, when I see Stephen A. Smith, I'm going to slap him. No, I'm kidding. But they don't have all the facts. Charles Barkley loves to speak out of turn. Al, you remember way back when he said, I am not a role model. Remember that?
Right.
Charles Barkley used to go around screaming that every black man is a role model. You have to carry yourself accordingly around young people and show them how to act, because children don't know how to act. They learn from us. They learn the correct way. You get up every day, put your shoes on, take a shower, hygiene, go to work, take care of your family, you know, take care of your close, you know, do what you got to do, take care of your close friends and family. You know, all that crap. Charles Barkley's an idiot. To me, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Because you need to do your due diligence.
In terms of all you mentioned.
Who was the other guy you mentioned? Kyrie, to me, Kyrie should have read it before he posted it. You know, that's how I look at it. You should know what you're doing.
No, he read the book.
If you're going to stand behind something you posted, then everything I post online on my Facebook page, I read. It's that simple.
No. He actually read the book. That's why he.
Oh, he did read. Okay, all right. Because I heard differently.
He didn't give an opinion. He did not give it. He just said, I read this book. He did not give his opinion.
Right. So it shouldn't be a problem.
But he just posted. But posting a book. Knowledge and wisdom.
You know, it's going to speech, freedom of speech. It's already happening. And we're allowing it to happen.
Right.
But
they should never. The whole thing went down wrong in my book because he didn't say, you know, like you said, he said, you know, he just put it out there. Okay, cool. put it out there. Free speech. If the book, you can go to the library or go to any one of the bookstores, Schuller's, Barnes & Noble, any of them places, and get it. You know, go online, Amazon, and buy it. So the book is already out there. So I don't know what they're getting upset about. He didn't endorse it.
But,
he just put it out
there. This is another thing, y'all. Jack called him an idiot, but Jack played Ron, the author name is Ron Dolphin. Jack played his movie in his theater. Jack has a theater that actually played the movie, and yet you called the man that just posted the book up there an idiot. So that is why the backlash is coming on these guys, because it's like to say our people are saying, well, wait a minute, are we puppets or are we men?
Well,
you got to stand up for something.
Yeah.
If you don't, you'll fall for anything.
Let me say this. All them, Barkley and all them right there are sellouts and they're clowns. You know what I'm saying? So if I say something that I truly mean in my heart, I'm not retracting anything. And that, I get so pissed off when people say something, and maybe they didn't think it through, but if they really believe that's what it is in their heart, ain't no sense of going out retracting. But the problem is they're worrying about their money flow. Well, isn't $100 million enough money? You know? I mean, I'm sick and tired of this coming out retracting. And it started with Tracy Morgan. With that dumb stuff. He's a comedian. Comedians say whatever they want to say, you know, so if you don't like what he said, don't go to his show. Simple as that.
Right.
Look at Dave Chappelle.
Exactly.
Dave Chappelle
you have to think about Will Smith and Chris Rock. That's when all of this stupid stuff, some of it started too. People can't really talk anymore. I mean, everybody is so busy getting offended. I mean, like you guys are saying, you know, there should be a freedom of speech. I mean, it seems
it's
like all of those things, they're going away, you know, the right to carry, to bear arms, you know, all of that.
We're allowing it to happen. We as an American are allowing it to happen instead of going in front of that White House in the millions, you know, or in the thousands and saying we're not taking this no more. It's the dumb stuff that media pushes out on us. And I don't even watch that crap. You know what I'm saying? But it's the media that pushes that stuff, and on every show showing you some gay stuff, you know, which I have nothing against, you know, gay people. That's their preference. But do kids need to be seeing that? No. You know, and there's a lot of things that's on television that can be on TV. But it's all about trying to control you and your mind and how you think. This would not go down.
It hooks all of these athletes. Billy, I noticed even growing up, it hooks all of these athletes. After they get their money, they forget where they came from and they turn their nose up at the community as a whole. Because I remember, living in Los Angeles when I was a teenager, and I remember we were like, me and my mother, we were driving right behind Tyson and Don King, right behind their car. And, you know, I was like, Mom, who is that? Is that my Mike Tyson? And all I seen was they sped their car up. They turned their nose up. I mean, that's all, you know, I have seen with these athletes who forget where they came from. And they go and they marry people who they don't eat, you know, a lot of people that they don't even really have anything in common with and not know or not have a relation with the neighborhood. Just, you know, what I remember was the Lakers girls. Hey, all of them, you know, you get groupies hanging around these big-time athletes in Inglewood. But, you know, besides the point, everybody, you know, people just forget. They forget to go back, regardless if they have a lot of success. People forget to go back and think about other people who are not having that success. And, you know, the money, they let it dictate their decisions. And money, it turns them away. You know,
okay,
it's the same thing what you guys are talking about, what's going on in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, go ahead, Al. I'm sorry.
Certain performers have a contract to stipulate what you can and cannot do.
That's right.
I don't know if you guys knew that. But then when you make so much money, okay, then there's so much that you can't go back into your community and do this and do that. For instance, when we're talking about this book again, let's talk about the man that owns Amazon, who is
Bezos.
A Jew. Okay?
Bezos.
Now, the book, because of the curiosity, the book is making money over money. Do the guy that sells the book in Amazon, do he apologize to anybody? Do those slum landlords in Brooklyn that has people eating children and with that black mold, are they apologizing?
No.
Are they apologizing for all the death that you see when it comes to these young rappers being murdered?
Because they
are behind the beefs of these rappers. And anybody else that has, are they apologizing to anybody? Why is it that we are the ones that have to apologize to people? Why?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I refuse. I refuse to. Unless I actually did something to hurt somebody, I know it in my heart that I did something wrong, and I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't intend that to happen. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to take, if I believe sincerely in my heart that I'm right, I'm not taking and retracting nothing. You can keep
it
much
how I am.
People have left respecting each other. People have left respect for each other and reasoning with each other and having common sense. That's what's going on. And everybody, this media, they have everybody walking around fearful of each other. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous because I was talking to Billy on the show yesterday. You know, I remember when everybody used to think Sanford and Son was funny. Eddie Murphy, the Family, you know, Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
And we used to watch the Dukes of Hazzard. We used to watch the Duke of Hazzard and without getting offended, you know. Now everybody is just running around in fear of each other and just wanting to kill each other. It's just horrible now. I mean, it's like we walked into a whole different dimension, Al.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, and those shows were funny. And you are absolutely positively right. And you're right. People are more sensitive about everything, you know. And what we have to do I believe now more than ever, is we have to learn to be independent.
Yeah.
You know, you got too many players in the basketball league and female basketball league, you know, that you can do your own. It's time now to release everyone that's in your path and start over like you did with the Negro League in baseball years ago. It's time to learn to have your own and stop trying to cross over, stop trying to integrate. You have to learn to be dependent, man, because this is just ridiculous.
You got to. And, you know, I said this, you know, a few years back. I said, you know what, we got to come with independency. It's like if we don't, we're going to be self-destructive as what's going on now. And, you know, my situation is like this. We're independent, and if we have a white person that has a business that caters to us, we'll cater to them. But it's like we're not, you know, we got to get ourselves together. There's too many millionaires in this country not to do something for their own city. How hard is that? But you said the contract tells them that. And it kind of makes me think about it because knowing Irv and the family, he does some things, but it's very, very limited. He does stuff like food for the kids for afternoon, you know, lunches. He does that and maybe some other things behind the scene, but it's nothing really big, like, you know, actually helping families and stuff like that to get them off the streets, you know, or housing or something. Well, I think he's got Well, some you know what there, I'm but. Seeing, Billy, is that they are taking these scouts, they're taking these high school athletes and putting them in the pros. These boys, they don't really, a lot of the boys, I've noticed the guys that I knew, and, you know, it was Daryl Strawberry, and, you know, he was going to Crenshaw with my older brothers and sisters and stuff. A lot of the education in those schools are meant to be the way that it is, to where people don't read in between the fine lines before they sign that contract, limiting them from
exactly.
helping those in the community. And it's time for, like you said, I mean, it's time for this stuff to stop. People need to start saying no and look beyond the money. Because if they do that, they'll better be able to help the communities that they do live in. But as far as I don't know about dividing in America, because, I mean, it was an old saying, those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it. It seems like everything is going in one big circle. And I remember, I mean, I hate to say this, but it's the truth. I mean, Black Wall Street, Black Wall Street was very, very good in Oklahoma. But at that time, it surprised me reading up on the history of Black Wall Street and even the Devil's Punch Bowl, all of these things that happened. The other communities around got jealous of the prosperity of Black Wall Street. And it surprised me that the Air Force went in and bombed this community. And nobody really says anything about it. And even the Devil's Punch Bowl, when people were being released from being slaves in the South, nobody talks about those concentration camps. The reason why nobody really eats the Georgia peaches, because there was a concentration camp. They slaughtered the people as a punishment for leaving those plantations. So, I mean, the history and everything, to me, what really solved the problem is if there was education, people will learn about each other instead of closing it off. Because I don't think closing off, because we have to share this planet, I don't think closing off will be the answer. If people knew each other's struggles, they would better be able to understand and try to help each other, you know, because the only differences and the only things that separate us is our skin tones. And even if you do segregate, even if you do become, if all blacks went one way and all the whites went one way, trust me, and even in those communities, somebody will find something different about you. So, it's
point,
not going to really
but
solve the problem.
You got to understand this, though. As a man, and I'm not, I mean, you're a woman, and I respect that, and you're a strong woman. But I must say this. As a man, when you all your life and all your father's life and your grandfather's life have to live up under a certain particular people's regime or their laws or their rules, as a person, as a man, you really get fed up, you fired up, and you want
to
blow up. You know,
I understand that.
You understand?
Uh-huh.
So
well, we
gotta have another man, you know, foot on my neck. You understand? It's always his way.
I understand
this game got to be played his way. And let's even go back a little further when we're talking about apologizing. Let's go back about the Shabbat. The Catholics used to cut our heads off if we didn't honor Sunday. When you know Saturday is the Shabbat.
Right. I understand. And you know what, Al? I sure do understand that argument. I do. And, you know, I don't know if many people knew about it. You probably knew about it. The 400-year mark, I forget what year that was, but I know that Ghana had opened up their borders to African Americans to they were giving free land away to African Americans. For them to go, for people to go back. Even Liberia, I know, was given to African American community to restart
Sierra
up again.
Leone.
And these places were beautiful.
Well,
But because I know some people who went over and they just decided to start over again because the United States, I don't even know what to say anymore.
Let me say this. You know, in terms of what we were talking about as far as independency, we have to. We have no choice because we're being stepped on. We're fourth-class citizens now. They open the gates up. We're fourth-class citizens. So we have to do our thing. We have to get our minds together and come together and stop hating on one another. That's the biggest problem, and that was embedded in us, in our DNA. We have to scrape that stuff out of our DNA and work on building a society for, like I said once again, you deal with us, we'll deal with you. Have our own resources, have everything in our own communities. That way we don't have to worry about it. When I came up in the 60s and 70s, there's a lot of places you couldn't even go. You know what I'm saying? When it came to shopping, you could only go to places like Kmart and Robert Hall's, you know, which was shopping for boys, you know, basically. But that was about the extent of it because we had our own stuff. But we were tricked, as we're being tricked again. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We were tricked for them to come in and buy up our stuff to give us a little extra pennies, you know, instead of just holding on to what they had. Like Detroit, you know for a fact how Detroit was 20 years ago, 25 years ago. It was all black, owned by black and ran by black.
Now it's all gentrified.
So we have to go back to that situation and teach our kids basically to be independent. And this is what the school is about. This is why I'm trying to get the school up, because I want them to learn skills of all aspects so they can go and find themselves, get them a loan or whatever they need to do to start building their own future. Back to you, Al.
Yes. Okay. In the schools, one thing that I would put in the schools is children learn finances. From at the first grade, and let it be embedded in them, just like cartoons. Let that be. They know the numbers. They know everything about a bank account. They can be an accountant. They understand the financial part. You're right. We must educate this, but we got to start with this. Start with why are who you call the indigenous people, the Aborigines. Are the only people, we are the only ones that I'm talking about here in America, okay? We are the only ones that when people want citizenship, regardless of where they come from, they have to put white. I'm saying that even if you're African, you have to put white. I'm saying that because a lot of us, we were scattered four corners of the earth. We were already in America, and I understand what Ghana was doing. That was beautiful. I thought it was beautiful, but everybody did not come from Ghana. Most of us came from right here. And, and Billy, when you're saying that we're fourth-class citizens, do you know that everybody that Joe Biden is letting across the border will become white citizens, will get a better bank account, a better situation than you? Everything is done in numbers. Everything is done in numbers. Their game, and that's why they always win in numbers. And now you've got the majority of our people that crossed over. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what you want to do. But you must understand your purpose, and everybody
see,
don't get it.
Yeah, because see, what my thing is that, you know, practicing with the Jewish people, I mean, it's not, how could I put it? It's not based upon, like, the skin color, because when I lived in Israel for the 7 months and stuff and the time that I did go there, that was looked down upon, all that racism and all that. you know, colorism stuff. And what I've seen, from my personal experience, and it was more,
right.
It was just more so something that you had in common with people. It wasn't their outward appearance, you know, because I've seen a full white family, and you go three generations back, they had black in their family, and they were also, they had descendants. They had the E1B1 genetic trait, and they also had relatives that came over here on slave ships, but you would never know that by looking at them from the outside.
Right, right.
I got answers.
Oh,
like that.
I'm sorry.
You know, you wouldn't dare to tell. But see, this is the thing. This is why I push so hard on being independent, because as being fourth class citizens, it's not going to get any better for us. It's just not.
Right.
And we have to come
together. Not here in America. I'm sad, you know, what I'm seeing is sad to say it, but it seems like the division is broadening and it shouldn't be like that. I mean, me personally, I think this is orchestrated. I think this
is
orchestrated against human people, humankind. I do. I think that it is otherworldly. I think it's entities that are, you know, behind all of this, and people shouldn't fall for it.
Yeah, but they are,
right.
Because they've been brainwashed. They've been brainwashed,
yeah.
And it's entities that's ruling this whole world, and people don't understand. They know who we are. They know who we are. That's why they are suppressing, and they're killing us. They know who we are. We have to wake
and
up.
And I'm saying that's why, you know, I like that song, Brainwashed. Because these entities are turning men against each other by just for something as simple as a skin color. And if you come in contact with an angel with two wings and one with six wings and one with eyeballs all over his body, how are you going to tell? Are you going to say, hey, look, our creator, he loves you more than he loved the other one because he gave that one more eyeballs than he gave you with two. So I'm just saying that, you know, and I'm not trying to. You know, I get it. Everybody's point on everything because y'all point on, y'all right. But at the same time, who's really, really causing these divisions? I mean, in Israel, they call it the
intra-opera.
It's an evil.
Man, period. My thinking, the way I personally feel, up until the woman, the mother of the earth, steps up, once she's I believe it's going to change. It's not going to change with men because we have this certain thing about us where we like to conquer, we like to rule, and we like to show off. And then a lot of us just like to sit back and just get drunk, don't even do nothing, just want to get high all the time. And brag about who likes you.
They have
so
what I call male tendencies. Yeah, you know, males, we have a lot of. Not us, I mean males as in general. There's a lot of, you're right, Al, there's a lot of issues that men have, the male species, that they need to come to grips with and settle with. But my biggest question is to the powers that be, what are you so afraid of? Why do I scare you so much? That's my question. Why do I'm trying to pay the rent and feed the kids. I'm trying to be a good man in the world and do what I'm supposed to do, my due diligence. But why do I scare you so much? That's my biggest question.
Maybe it could be because of the guilt that when people look at themselves truly from the inside and in the mirror, they know what people know what they're truly doing wrong and doing right, you know? And, you know, it's just my opinion. I think there's a creator, and I think he's going to expose everything to where nobody can hide from anything.
Yeah.
And I think that fear is coming from guilt of what I did to you. You understand?
Yeah. I always say truth is truth. Yeah, I always say truth is truth. So if you tell the truth, you ain't got to worry about nothing else. And you know, I'm the kind of guy who I say what I say. Billy, you know me. I stand on my own 2 feet. I say what I say. I'm not going to apologize for the way I say it, but what comes out my mouth, I stand behind ever since. I'm a father of four daughters. Yeah, I've been since I was 16, 17 years old.
Yeah, you always like
that's
that.
That's right.
And your mom, too. And your mom, too.
That's right.
Well,
yeah. That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
I walk
so
the walk and
to.
I talk the talk.
Well,
and
well,
I have
well,
big shoulders.
You gotta,
I have very big shoulders, so I have no
out.
Problem with shit.
I got to ask you a question, though.
Oops.
I got to ask you
a question. Go ahead, Al. Go ahead.
You asked a question about what they're afraid of. They're afraid of you and I finally getting together and taking this world back to
yeah,
where the beginning, to where it belongs, the world that our ancestors had. That is why. We got to look at why is everybody against you, and why do you always
yeah.
have to play a part as to where you have to believe in their school system, you have to believe in their government system, you have to believe in their religious system. We have to understand the manipulation is everywhere. Every day, every moment, you are at war. It's someone
yeah.
against you. If they're not targeting you, they're targeting your children to make sure that
right.
your next generation will not be successful, will not be unified. The word unified fears everyone on the planet, but everybody else
yeah.
is unified. They can come in your community and sell Chinese food.
Yeah.
They can come to your community cleaners, but you can't go in that community with a soul food restaurant unless you got some numbers of us out there. But just to put it out there, that term soul food, no.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
no. You know,
you
so
right.
I believe,
you know,
I believe with
because
my situation.
Because like I said before, about General Custer, remember the biggest myth was, oh, he was a hero. He was a hero. So as, you know, I got into high school, you know, and I'm a history guy. That was my thing in high school. History lunch and weightlifting class. You know, I found out that his job, they sent him out west to kill off all the native people. That was his job. He wasn't a hero, but as
right.
kids in elementary school, they would have you believe, Al, you know I'm talking, they would have
yeah,
you believe
absolutely.
That General Custer was a hero, a bona fide
yeah,
hero.
Absolutely.
Because
yeah.
And he's not. So those who have the power make the history and write the right thing,
yeah.
their truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there too. So let's go to commercial, DJ. Let's go to commercial and come back
right.
and finish up.
All
okay.
right. You're listening
well.
To the Chat Rio on the Caribbean Radio Show with Billy and Friends. Coming up, we've got George Clinton, Third World, Peter Tosh, and Prince.
All right.
All right.
Introducing Caribbean Radio Show, the chat reel with Billy and friends. And now, here is your host, Billy Tappin.
We have had a wonderful show with Nicole Franklin discussing her project, and we'll be bringing her back on at some point in time. Very interesting lady, very interesting. But as right now, we're having an open discussion, and we've got about 20 minutes before we're out of here. So let's pick up where we left off at. And that was basically the independency of people of color, especially black people, and how we can come together and build a foundation that we don't have to depend on anybody but ourselves. So let's go back to that. Who wants to kick it off from the...
I want to say something. I mean, I still go back to that thing with V. Remember that movie, V?
Yeah.
Where you seen that big old nasty, that reptilian lady eating that guinea pig?
Yeah.
They were playing on man's minds, too. I mean, to me, it's some supernatural going on. Al, I know you heard of the Mandela effect.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and I'm saying something supernatural is going on because this has just been happening in the past, I would say, past 6 to 7 years, you notice a change in people?
Yeah.
You know, people are more emotionally wired than before, more emotionally on edge, more fearful. I mean, I think it has something to do more so not with just what we see. I think it has something to do with something supernatural going on where you got other beings. They started playing with that thing, that CERN, and I'm going to say it. They start playing with that thing.
Right.
People start changing. I mean, I notice a lot of change. Things are not even the same at all. You know, I'm seeing some crazy stuff, man, that I've never seen before. And I'm like, you know what? This is more, it's more to it than what we see with our man, you know, mankind's going to have divisions, but it's more to it. It's more fighting against us, you know, everybody.
It's a war. It's a spiritual war. Look what happened to me. You know, I'm like, there's no reasoning, you know, for what happened. You know, there was no residence of anything. When I got all the tests when I was in the hospital, there was nothing there. There was no signs of anything. They couldn't find anything. So it's a war going on. And being that
I think they're using something, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, people would say, you know, these witches and stuff, witchcraft and all this other stuff going on, you know?
Well, I've been pushing very, very hard for us to come together. That has been a major, major thing for me and also with Al. We're trying to make a difference in this world, and it's only two of us. You know, I mean, I'm quite with us. It's actually four of us to try to make a difference and get people to get their heads right, man, and have them come together and stop the hate. That's the biggest problem.
Exactly.
We have.
I try to talk to all the young people that I can.
That's the goal, period. Because when people start loving each other, I'm serious about this. When people start loving each other more, you know, like they love themselves, truly, when they truly do that, then this ignorance will stop. This ignorance will stop. People don't have no respect for each other no more.
Each other, or like you said, Denise, themselves, self-hatred. Self-hatred ruins a lot of things. Steve Harvey has said it. He has said it time and time again. Negativity and self-hatred ruin. So when you have that in you, when you project that outwardly, you want everybody, misery loves company. That saying is so true. My grandfather used to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Misery loves company.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk around every day depressed and miserable. You're not finding a solution to the problem. You are the problem. So you need to shake that loose, and let's get on with finding a solution to this. Like Al and Billy said, you said,
if we come together as one, let's do this. I don't see no problem in that. But the problem is there'll be too many chiefs and not enough workers. That's the problem.
Right.
Everybody
too many
wants
chiefs
to be
and
a chief.
Too,
everybody wants
no
to be
Indians.
A chief. You cannot be the head man. Everybody can't sit up in the front office. There's those who are bees, those who are mid-level bees, and those who are bees. I mean, the big king bees, the queen bees. So,
but, you know, the offense, that's when the offense has to stop. Because when people start, when, like I said, they love their neighbor like they self, period. If you just do that, you know, people truly do that. They truly, truly do it. It'll stop. I mean, if people, I mean, everybody is, like, turned against each other, angry. It's so much anger. Oh, you did this to me. Oh, I did this to you. And once people say, forget this, I'm not going to do this.
I believe that
this will stop when people make up their mind to control what they want. And excuse me, you probably hear my little puppy. I'm sorry, y'all. He's barking at me. When people truly love, this will crack. It will crack it.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I'm going to give you a prime example, and we all know this, is that if I am building a foundation, so let's say I'm building a store. Let's say I'm building a store like Myers. Okay. Mm-hmm. And my pricing is, you know, maybe a little bit more because of my situation, but, you know, I have the store up, but do you think that for 1 minute that many black people will come in and support that? No.
No.
They won't. They'll go
they're going to talk about their prices being too high.
To the enemy. They'll go right to the enemy.
Right.
And like I said, it's about everybody coming together and sharing. It's not, God doesn't want us to be fighting this away. You know what I'm saying? He wants love and harmony. And if we have love, we can kill this energy, this negative energy. But you got to get people to see that that's what it takes is love. And the enemy cannot stay because he's pulling our negative, our positive energy. They cannot stay on this planet. Pass love along and say, love your neighbor, and let's be sincere about it, and let them know that there's an entity here that's been here, and they're feeding off your positivity. So
we're all in
this important thing.
Yeah.
That's important.
Those entities feed off of the negative energy.
Yeah.
They feed off of hate. Yeah. They feed off of the lust. They feed off of all those nasty things that's coming through your TV screen. And it's like an open sewage, you know, like you were saying, you know, little kids could be sitting in front of that TV screen and you know, the people, they don't understand. You're just in their house. You are just in my house. How are you going to put that filth in front of any little kid that might be over my house looking at that TV screen? That's a kind of like an intrusion in a way. But, you know, this thing is spiritual. It's a spiritual intrusion. It's a spiritual
indoctrination. They're trying to indoctrinate these kids.
Well, if you go back to my time, we were talking about this earlier with the Archie Bunkers, the Beverly Hillbillies. This is all basically a setup because the society
the Duke for
wasn't
Hazard was good.
The society was not susceptible to this stuff. This would have never been accepted. So they're running a project on us, and they're like, okay, let's push it a little bit more. Because I noticed it. I noticed it in the 70s that they were starting to push stuff. They're starting to get a little bit over the line, you know, even with the soap operas. They were getting a little bit over the line on that. Because at one point in time, they slept in single beds. They slept in single beds. Then all of a sudden, they start getting a little bit more, pushing a little bit more to see what people had to say. Nobody said anything, so they kept on pushing that envelope until we started accepting what they were putting out. That is the problem. We allowed them to
manipulate us. Days of Our Lives, General Hospital. All of that.
Yeah,
but you know,
George
was slowly
Carlin
seeping in. They slowly, yeah, like you said,
TV.
Put in a little bit at a time. But the thing about
yeah,
it is, it's an entity
far.
Behind it. And when people
yeah,
understand,
right.
when they understand that entity, when they understand the setup of it all, then they'll wake up and say, oh, no, we're not going to participate in this. And that's what people should do. People should back off
yeah. okay.
of it.
We're out of time, so until next week, TJ,
all right.
take us out. And thank everybody for listening. We're going to have more to come. So take us out, TJ.
Well, thank you, everybody,
oh,
for listening
thanks.
To the chat reel on the Caribbean Radio Show with Billy and Friends. We'll be back next Monday, 8 o'clock sharp. Be
and
there.
Also Sunday on the news, the Black Street team. Sunday.
Oh, that's right. Don't forget Sundays with Denise. Oops, Denise, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. The Jewish, the Black Jewish Queen live chat. Yes, we talk about different issues
yeah.
pertaining to Israel and around the world. Thank
okay,
you. This
good.
Was a great show. Al, it was good.
Hey.
It was great. Talk
yes,
to you.
Sir.
Hey, what time is this
yes,
show,
sir.
Denise? Let them know the time.
My
oh, it is 2 p.m. and everything. It's 2 p.m. every Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern time. And
okay.
I'm so glad. I'm glad, Billy, that you're back in. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. All right.